You're listening to Highway Sermons with Joshua Mills, Session 2.
Come on, somebody praise God. Whoa! Whoa! Come on, somebody give God a crazy praise, a crazy praise, a crazy shout. Whoa! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Jesus Christ, you are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords over South Africa. Whoa! Jesus Christ, you rule and you reign with power in this nation. Jesus, your glory is flowing in this nation like never before. The revelation of it, the knowledge of it, there's change that's coming forth in South Africa, because whatever the glory touches begins to change. There's change that's coming in your house. There's change that's coming in your family. There's change that's coming in your finances. There's change that's coming to your prosperity. There's change that's coming into your mind. There's change that's coming to your soul. There's change that's coming to your physical body. There's change that's coming, because whatever the glory touches begins to change. When the glory touched the water, it turned into supernatural wine. Hallelujah. When the glory touched the fishes and the loaves, they began to supernaturally multiply. When the glory of God touched the widow's little oil, her little flour, when the glory touched her lack, she went from extreme poverty into a place of overabundant prosperity and plenty overnight. You didn't hear what I said. You didn't hear what I said. Because there's some things you just can't figure out how you're going to get the breakthrough. There's some things that you just can't figure out how your miracle's going to happen. Because in the natural it looks impossible. In the natural it looks too difficult. But the Word of God declares there is nothing that is too difficult for God. There is nothing that's impossible for them that believe. And tonight, as God's song becomes our song, tonight as His Word becomes our words, and we begin to speak it into the atmosphere, something is beginning to shift. Something is beginning to turn. Something is beginning to move. Something is beginning to change. You're not listening to what I'm saying. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about the stuff that you've been going through. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about the demons you've been facing day to day. I'm talking about things beginning to change. Things begin to turn. Things beginning to move. Things beginning to shift. I'm talking about God working on your behalf. I'm talking about God showing up where it seems like it's impossible. I'm talking about God showing up where it seems like it's too difficult. I'm talking about every area where you feel like you've been a victim, God showing up with His supernatural victory. Hallelujah. Every place where you felt like all you've got is a mess, God showing up with His miracles. Every place where it looks like you've been tested and tested, God showing up and saying you are triumphant. Hallelujah. Every place where you felt like you're an underachiever, God showing up on the scene and saying, honey, you're an overcomer. Tonight, as we were worshiping, praising in the Spirit, I saw God beginning to move upon South Africa. And I saw God beginning to do something in this land that has never been done before. And I say, God, begin to come upon this nation and begin to change things, begin to transform things. I saw God coming upon the political arena, coming upon the governmental authorities, and I saw things beginning to change, things beginning to shift. I see God beginning to move by His Spirit and beginning to create something that's never been created before. I believe that this nation could be a forerunning nation. Hallelujah. I believe that there is destiny and purpose upon this nation. Hallelujah. That God can birth something in this land that will go from this land to many other lands. That God can birth something in His Spirit in South Africa that will spread and flow throughout Africa. That God will move upon this land in such power and glory that it will be undeniable that it is what the Lord has done. Nobody will be able to take credit for themselves because the miracle will have been so supernatural. I don't know whether you have faith tonight to connect with that thing I was seeing in the Spirit, but tonight I pull it in. Hallelujah. I pull it in. I take it out of eternity, and I pull it into time. Hallelujah. Your praise will connect you with eternity and allow you to bring that revelation into time, into the natural, into the now. Hallelujah. There are no secrets in the secret place. Once you're in, it's revelation. You didn't hear what I said. There are no secrets in the secret place. Because once you're in, it's revelation. When you enter into that place of God's glory, you enter out of the natural, the confinements of time, the restraints of your situation, your circumstance, and you enter into the place where there's no limitation, where there's no restriction. The Bible says that God gives His Spirit without limit, without measure. There's no limit how God can move for you, what He wants to do for you. There's no limit to how God can bless you. There's no limits to how He can manifest His power in and through you. There's no secrets in the secret place. When we connect with that heavenly realm, when we connect with that heavenly dimension, we're connecting with the realm that's wide open with revelation. When we enter into that place of God's glory, we're entering into a place of divine illumination. Hallelujah. I want you to lift up your hands right now in this place into the realm of the illumination of God, the illumination of heaven. Just lift up your hands. It's the illumination of the glory realm right now. Lord, I thank You for Your light that begins to shine. Lord, I thank You tonight for lights that are coming on in areas that have seemed so dark. Lord, I thank You for turning on the light. Whoa. In areas where there's been unsurety, in areas where there's been difficulty, in areas where we have not seen, Lord, I thank You for the light being turned on right now in Jesus' mighty name. The illumination of heaven coming, the revelation flowing right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, there's no secrets in the secret place. Once you're in, it's revelation. It's revelation. It's revelation. Whatever is revelation in the heavens becomes prophetic to the earth. When we prophesy, we're not trying to make something happen. When I prophesy, I'm not trying to twist God's arm or get God to do something. When I prophesy, whatever I prophesy must be whatever I've seen in the heavens. Whatever I've seen in the heavens is revelation. It's revelatory to the heavens, but it's prophetic to the earth. I'm not trying to make something happen through my prophecy. I'm simply declaring what's already happened in the realm of the heavens, and I'm moving heaven to earth. I'm moving the revelation into prophetic understanding. When you begin to connect with heaven's glory, begin to move heaven to earth, begin to move revelation from heaven into the earth, you become a prophetic voice. You begin declaring prophetically things that seem impossible in the natural. Suddenly God will have you declaring things and saying things and decreeing things in situations that have looked bleak, situations that look like there's no hope. God will have you show up and say something that you never said before. Don't be afraid to decree the word of the Lord that you see in the heavens. When God gives you a vision, when God shows you something, when he begins to speak to you in the middle of the night, wake up in the morning, decree it over your house, decree it over your family, begin to decree it over your home, begin to decree it over your finances, begin to decree it over your children, begin to speak it out over your workplace, begin to speak it out over your business. Come on. The word of God says that God watches over his word to perform it. God is looking for people who will connect with heaven's word. Because Jesus said this. He didn't say that his words were just words. He didn't say that his words would just fall to the ground and die. He said this. He said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. The word that comes from God is spirit and life. If you be willing to receive his word as a seed into your heart and you're beginning to speak, believe to speak his word as a deposit into the earth, you're releasing seeds of spirit and life. Some of you, the doctor told you that there's bad news for you. Some of you, the doctor said there's no hope for you. Tonight, decree his word that is spirit and life. Hallelujah. For some of you, you look at your finances tonight and it looks like there's no hope. It looks like you're going down. It doesn't look like you're blessed. It doesn't look like you're prospering in the natural. Decree his word. It is spirit and it is light. Hallelujah. The word of God says you shall decree a thing and the light shall shine. Hallelujah. Decree a thing. And it shall happen. It shall come to pass. Light will shine on your ways and God will make that thing manifest. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how crazy God's word looks. When you connect with heaven, you connect with the blessing. It doesn't matter how crazy it seems. It doesn't matter how crazy that word appears. I want to tell you, many times God will do strange things. Actually, I believe God's always doing strange things. Things that stretch us a little bit. Things that make us a little bit uncomfortable. Things that take us out of our comfort zone. Why? Because there's a whole other level he wants us to experience. Hallelujah. I want you to open to, let's go to Luke 17 tonight. There are no secrets in the secret place. If you need revelation about something, draw near to God and he will guide you into his heart. Miracles happen in the secret place. Miracles happen in the secret place. And this is why God invites us into his glory. The glory is the secret place. The secret place is the cloud of God, the abode of God, the dwelling of God. God invites us to come into a place of hearing, a place of knowing, a place of seeing like we've never understood before. God's inviting us to come into his heart. God's welcome us to draw deeper and deeper into his heart, into that place where his glory flows. Miracles happen in the secret place. Is there anybody that needs a miracle tonight? A few of you. Is there anybody that needs a miracle tonight? It doesn't matter what you need tonight. I want you to lift up your hands tonight in this atmosphere. Just lift up your hands into the glory. It doesn't matter what you need tonight. God has a miracle for you. Hallelujah. God has a miracle for you. Lord, I thank you right now for blessing my brother. Lord, right now I thank you for releasing your miracles upon their life. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, right now I thank you for doing the impossible. Lord, I thank you for working miracles. Lord, I thank you for working signs, for working wonders. Lord, I thank you for meeting every need. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, right now I thank you. I thank you for touching my sister. Lord, I thank you for blessing her life. Lord, I thank you for pouring out your glory upon her. Right now, Lord, I thank you that you're even turning back time. Whoa. Lord, I thank you for supernatural rejuvenation that comes right now into my sister's life. Lord, I thank you that you begin to pour out your glory upon her in such a degree. Lord, I thank you for strengthening her bones. Lord, I thank you for blessing her life in innumerable ways. And even right now, Lord, I thank you for taking away wrinkles. Oh, hallelujah. I believe God's going to do it for you as a sign of what he's doing on the inside. I believe God's going to begin moving for you in such a tremendous way that you're going to begin to experience some new things in God. I believe that your days are not coming to an end, but you're just coming to a beginning. Hallelujah. You're just coming to a start. God has some new things for you to see. God has some new things for you to do. God has some new things for you to experience. Lord, right now, I thank you for blessing my sister. Lord, right now, I thank you for blessing. Lord, I thank you for releasing your miracles right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, right now, Lord, I thank you for pouring out your glory. Hallelujah. Right now, all over my brother right now, just release your glory, Lord. Just release your glory. Hallelujah. 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 Over both of you, I see that what I see prophetically is I see walls that have been closing in and coming tight. And I see you being in like a really tight situation. I see being in a tight situation. But what I see prophetically right now in the spirit, I see those walls literally being knocked down. I see those walls tumbling down. I see every assignment of the enemy that's been set against you. I see it coming tumbling down. I see you rising up in a new place of victory like you've never been before. I see you riding, my God. I see you riding on the waves of God's glory. The way I see it right now, I see a wave coming in. I see it knocking down the walls. I see the wave carrying you up and out and over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for doing it tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for manifesting your glory. Lord, manifest your glory, your glory, your glory, your glory, your glory. Lord, your glory. Lord, I thank you for releasing you. Anybody need a miracle over here tonight? Hallelujah. Let me read you a few more things out of my book, 31 Days to a Miracle Mindset. When God's favor rests on your life. How many have God's favor in your life? Amen. When God's favor rests on your life, it causes you to succeed no matter what the natural circumstance predicts. Some of you have some predictions over your life. Some of you, some people have predicted your success or your failure. When I was in the fifth grade, I'll never forget my fifth grade teacher. He told me, he said, Joshua, you are so stupid. Now that's not good news when your teacher tells you you're stupid. Come on. He said, Joshua, you are so stupid. He said, when you grow up, you're going to be a bum on the street. He said, you're not going to be able to have a job because you don't understand mathematics. And I told him, I said, well, I don't need to know mathematics and I can still be successful. And he said, how are you going to be successful if you don't know math? I said, I'm going to hire someone to do my math. Hallelujah. And I have. Hallelujah. 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 He predicted that I'd be a failure. He said I wouldn't be successful. He said that I'd be down and out. He said I'd be without a job. He predicted all these kind of things, but it doesn't matter what anybody else predicts. When you got the word of the Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God's favor rests upon your life, it doesn't matter what anybody else predicts. You have the prophetic promise of his presence. Hallelujah. And his promise says this, Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord God Almighty. plans for your success, plans for your prosperity, plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. And I see God beginning to move upon your life even tonight. I see God begin to raise you up into new places where others have said it is impossible and you can never be, you can never do. I see God turning things around right now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you for your glory being released upon my brother. Lord, I thank you that your plans for him are good. Lord, I thank you that you have greater places, greater dimensions, greater realms of blessing. Lord, I thank you that you have something greater for him. And even tonight, I prophesy it, I speak it into being right now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you for the greater being released in Jesus' mighty name. Greater, 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 greater. Anybody want to receive greater? Anybody want to receive the greater things of God? There's a little bit more to grow. There's a little bit more to know. There's a little bit more to see. There's a little bit more to perceive. There's a little bit more to receive from God. Hallelujah. 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 When God's favor rests on your life, it doesn't matter what anybody else has predicted, because we live in the prophetic promise of his presence. Hallelujah. Okay, well, if you didn't like that one, I'll read another one. Let's see here. Thank you. God bless you. He said that one was good. Well, if nobody else liked it except for you, I'm glad you got blessed. Hallelujah. Day 16. Seed the heavens with your praise and rejoice as you experience the showers of blessing that rain down from the cloud of glory. Seed the heavens with your praise. Your praise is a seed that rises to the heavens. It's a seed going up, but it's a harvest coming down. Hallelujah. We sow to the heavens, and God begins to sow to the earth. Anybody ready to seed the heavens for your miracle? People ask me all the time, they say, well, why am I not receiving a miracle? Why, you know, I've been believing God for a miracle. Why am I not receiving the miracle? I want to tell you, miracles don't always happen where they're needed. And the proof of that is there's a lot of places in the earth that need a miracle. Come on. Miracles don't always happen where they're needed, but they always take place in a place where they're seeded. S-E-E-D-E-D. You can seed your way into a miracle harvest. Do you understand that? And every time we talk about a seed, people think, oh, he's talking about finances. He's just talking about an offering. You have to hear what I'm saying tonight. Open your ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I'm not talking about your finances alone right now. I'm talking about seeding the heavens with everything that you've got. When I came to Christ, I didn't say, God, you can have my money only. Come on. When I came to the Lord, I didn't say, well, God, you can have my heart, but just my heart. Nothing else in my body, just my heart. When I came to the Lord, I didn't say, God, you can use me on Sunday, you can use me on Wednesday, but every other day, I pretty much will take care of it myself. Come on. A seed is anything that will multiply in the right atmosphere. Anything that can multiply within the right atmosphere. Everything that the Lord has given to you is a seed. Everything. Everything. Your time is a seed. Your talents, your abilities, your creativity, your anointing, it's a seed. Your love, your compassion, what is it? It's a seed. Your friendship is a seed. Your finances, they're seeds. The words that you speak, what are they? Seeds. They're seeds. The Bible says this, that the power of life and death is in the tongue. The question is, what are you going to do with your tongue? What are you going to do with your tongue? We have the ability to sow seeds every day into people that we meet, into the stranger that's walking down the street. I don't know. I've been to over 50 nations around the world. Traveled all over the world over the past 10 years. And I want to tell you, South Africa is one of the most friendly nations I have ever been to in my entire life. Ever. The people at my hotel, every hotel I've been in since I've been here, so friendly. People in the street, so friendly. I thank God for that. Your words are seeds. I've been sharing with some people, saying a little, planting a little seeds here, planting a little seed there. Hallelujah. But every time I plant a seed, I expect that God's going to bring a harvest. Every time I speak a word into somebody's life, I can't watch over that word to make it grow. God doesn't expect that I'll make that thing grow. God expects that I'll plant the seed. He's the one that brings the harvest. Hallelujah. And so every word that I speak, it's a seed. I try to be careful. The words that I speak over my children, the words that I speak in my home, the words that I speak to my wife. And I want to tell you this. Ungratefulness is the seed for every problem you'll ever experience. Ungratefulness. But thankfulness is the seed for every miracle. As soon as you become ungrateful for your spouse, what happens? You start talking different. Start planting different kinds of seeds. Come on. Seeds of division, seeds of... As soon as you become ungrateful for your spouse, suddenly you open up a door for problems. As soon as you become ungrateful for your children, you open up a door for problems. As soon as the employee becomes ungrateful for their employer, you open up a door for problems. As soon as a church becomes ungrateful for their pastor, come on, problems. Why? Because ungratefulness is a seed for every problem. But thankfulness is a seed for every miracle. And God began to show me this. And I had to change the things that I was saying, the things that I was declaring, because there had been situations that were transpiring in my life where they didn't look nice. They didn't look good. It wasn't benefiting me in a very nice way. And I began to say things like, why would that person do that? And why do they do this? And why does this always happen to me? Ooh, that's not a good seed to plant. Why does this always happen to me? You're planting a seed for it to happen over and over and over and over again. Seed the heavens with your praise. Seed the heavens with the sound of glory. Seed the heavens, hallelujah, with that sound of victory. Seed the heavens with that sound of triumph. Seed the heavens with that sound of joy, that sound of love, that sound of peace. Seed the heavens with His word. Whoa. What happens when God's word returns unto Him? The Bible says it won't return void, but it will accomplish everything that it's been sent forth to do. Hallelujah. We seed the heavens with praise, and God gives us a harvest. Hallelujah. I want you to open. Let's go to Luke 17. I don't know whether you like those or not. If you like, it's a 31-day journey. 31 days to a miracle mindset. It's a 31-day journey into the heart of God, into the mind shift. The mind shift. And I don't know whether these are on the back, but if they're not, I just want to say this real quickly, that if there's any product, book, CD that you wanted that I didn't bring or you weren't able to get at the book table, you can go online and you can actually order any of our resources at my website, joshuamills.com. And the price that you will pay for shipping and handling, let me tell you, not only is South Africa one of the most friendly nations in the world, but is the most expensive nation to ship to. And I don't know, but I imagine you have your ways that you do shipping and try to maneuver around everything and all that kind of stuff. But the one blessing that you'll get on our website is that we have one charge for shipping, and it doesn't matter what nation you come from. If you lived in Canada down the street from where our office is, you'd pay the same price as somebody who's in South Africa ordering that same item. And so it's a real blessing for you. You're able to get our resources and our things. And let me tell you, it does cost more than what you pay in shipping, but our ministry sows it, invests it as a seed into the nations and subsidizes that. So I just encourage you, if you want to get something and you weren't able to get it, you can certainly go online and you can order it, and it's not going to cost you your arm and your leg. Hallelujah. Okay. Open with me. Where did I say we were going? I got so caught up in glory. Where did I say we were going? Luke 17. Okay. Where is that? Okay. Luke 17. Now let me see. What was I going to do here? In Luke 17. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful when you flow with the Spirit? Hallelujah. I want you to look at this. Luke 17, verse 11. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy, they met him. And they stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice. And they said, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. I want you to look at that word. It says that as the lepers went, according to the word of God, it says they were cleansed. Some of your translations may say they were healed, depending on what translation you have. It's all the same. They were cleansed of the leprosy. They were healed of the leprosy. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed or that he was cleansed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Now, this always amazed me, this testimony, reading this, because the Bible says that there was 10 lepers that were standing in this place of difficulty, living in this situation where the sickness had become a stumbling block for them towards their success or their prosperity. They weren't able to live with common folk. They weren't able to interact with people in town, but they were cast out. They were the outcasts of society. And they were cast out into this place of being sent there, you know, for the rest of their life, they would just suffer with their leprosy. And they were known as lepers. They had a title. They had a stigma. They had a label that was put on them. Some of you have had some labels and titles put on you that God never ever put on you. If God didn't say it, then don't believe it. There's some labels that you believe because you've always been labeled that way, but God doesn't see you that way. I want to tell you, when God looks at you through the blood of Jesus, He doesn't see you in your sin. He doesn't see you as sinner. When God looks at you through the blood of Jesus, He doesn't see you as sick. He doesn't see you as devastated. He doesn't see you as ruined. He sees you as healed. He sees you as whole. He sees you as blessed. Hallelujah. Some of you have been walking around saying, I'm just so poor. Stop it. That's not the label that God put on you. God didn't call you poor. He said, Jesus became poor so that you'd be made. Whoa. What did He call you? Why have you been calling yourself poor when God looks at you and calls you rich? Every day you wake up in the morning, you ought to say, I am the richest person on earth. I am so blessed. Although I'm not talking about just getting into some kind of religious thing, some mantra, you know, religious mantra every morning. I'm talking about knowing it in your spirit. And when you get it in your spirit, you can wake up in the morning and you can know that you are blessed beyond measure. It doesn't matter what the day's about to bring. You are blessed. You are rich. You are prosperous. You are filled with the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. You have peace in every storm. Hallelujah. That's the label I wear. I am blessed. I am filled. I'm healed. I'm whole. Hallelujah. That's who He calls me, and that's what I'm going to believe. These lepers had been labeled. They were put out, outcasts of society, put out of town. They had no hope. No hope. Looked like all odds were against them. But the Bible says this, that they saw Jesus walking by. And they recognized that Jesus had something that they needed. Actually, Jesus had something that no medical doctor had. Jesus had something that no scientist had. Jesus had something that no medical science had discovered. Jesus carried something that they needed. And I want to tell you tonight, Jesus has everything that you need. Everything. Everything. If you don't know Jesus tonight, I encourage you after this meeting, get hold of someone and say, I don't know Jesus, but I want to know him. I want to know him. Jesus has every answer for every problem you'll face in your life. And these lepers, they recognized, they discerned that Jesus was their miracle connection. It's important for you to discern your miracle connections. Sometimes your miracle connection can be an employer, sometimes. Sometimes your miracle connection can be someone that's sitting beside you in church. Sometimes your miracle connection is a word that the pastor speaks. Sometimes your miracle connection is a vision, a dream in the night. Sometimes your miracle connection is a prophet of God that comes through town. Sometimes your miracle connection is someone that you meet out on the street as you're walking down the street. It's important to discern your miracle connection. They discerned that Jesus had something that they needed. And they weren't satisfied for Jesus just to pass by, but the Bible says they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They called out, cried out in a loud voice. Do you know that your praise should always be loud? Always. Well, Brother Joshua, I'm just not like that. I'm just more reserved. We're a Commonwealth country. We're more reserved kind of people. Come on, I'm from Canada. We are like, in the natural, we're the most reserved of all the reserves. We're quiet, we're polite, we're shy, we don't want to interfere with, and we don't want to make a mess, we don't want to get in anybody's business, we don't want to make somebody think that we're crazy or something. Come on. But when I started coming to the things of the Spirit, somehow I stepped out of my Canadian reservedness. And I stepped into a crazy praise. Hallelujah. And I realized that my true identity was not discovered in the earth, but it was discovered in heaven. And the Bible says in Revelation 19 that there's a sound in heaven. There's a sound just like loud peals of thunder. There's the sound just like a great multitude that says, praise the Lord, you both small and great. All of us are called to praise the Lord. And that praise that we're called to is a loud praise. God wants our praise to be loud. God wants our praise to be vibrant. When God gives us a word, we can declare it over our home. When God gives us a word, we can declare it over our church. When God gives us a word, we can corporately declare it together in praise. Hallelujah. They cried out to God with a loud voice, with a loud praise, saying, Master, have pity on us. And Jesus heard that praise. Jesus heard their sound. And the Bible says that he responded by giving a word. Now, I discovered this. Whenever you ask God for a miracle, he will always give you an instruction. Whenever you ask God for a miracle, he will give you an instruction. He'll tell you to do something you've never done before. He'll tell you to go somewhere you've never been before. He'll tell you to sow a seed that you never sown before. He'll tell you to get up and bless someone you never blessed before. He'll tell you to go speak to someone you never spoke to before. There's always an instruction that comes from the Lord in the realm of his glory. You understand this. The glory of God is a realm of revelation. It's the wisdom of God. So when you ask God for a miracle, he'll give you an instruction. Jesus gave the lepers an instruction. And the instruction was this. Go show yourselves to the priests to be approved. What are you going to do when God gives you a divine instruction? What are you going to do? The Bible says don't just be hearers of the word only. Oh, I like it when that preacher preaches. I sit there and I love what he said. I can feel it in my spirit. Well, then why aren't you doing it? Well, I just wanted to, I need to hear a little bit more before I, And there's some people whose ears are always listening but never hearing. The Bible says don't just be hearers of the word only, but be doers of it also. When God gives you a miracle instruction, what are you going to do? Obey the instruction. Now, I'm not trying to put you in religion. I'm not trying to put you in law tonight. I'm just saying that God knows what you need. And when God tells you what to do, you ought to do it. Hallelujah. God knows how to get you to places you don't know how to get yourself. God knows how to get things into your hands that you can't get. It doesn't matter how long you rattle at the door. It doesn't matter how long you try to shake at the cabinet. It doesn't matter how long you try to break open the bank. God knows how to get things in your hand that you cannot get into your own hands. God will ask you to do something possible in order for him to do something that's impossible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody tonight that said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I receive. I receive. I receive. Hallelujah. The Bible says not only did the lepers hear the instruction, but they actually did it. They obeyed that heavenly instruction. And the Bible says that they, as they went, and I love this, as they went, God didn't do the miracle when they got there. Them stepping into obedience became the catalyst for their breakthrough. Simply believing God's word. You see, God's not trying to make you do stuff just to do stuff. But God wants to know whether you really believe what he says. There's something that happens when we believe what he says. I want to tell you an amazing miracle. Several years ago, Janet and Angela and I, we were married for 10 years in our marriage, always renting homes, always renting our living accommodations. We moved from apartment to apartment, from rental home to rental home. And every single year of our marriage, we always sowed in faith, believing, finances. We would take our finances, and when we would give them, we would literally name our seed, and whether you believe in that or not, it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. I'm just telling you what we do, okay? And we begin to name our seed. We begin to say, God, I thank you that you have a home for us. And for 10 years, we sowed for a home, believing that God had a home for us. And we were over ministering in Hong Kong at the conference that Pastor Steve and Janet were at with Rob and Glenda Rufus. And we came home from that conference. The morning we came home, we got an email from our landlord in Palm Springs, California. And he said this. He said, my wife and I, we want to retire to Palm Springs. And so in September, we're going to ask that you move out of our home. And we're going to come. We're going to live there instead. I looked at Janet. I said, Janet, we can't keep on moving. We have sowed for 10 years for a home. I believe God's going to give us our home and we're going to move one more time. One more time. She agreed with me. She said, we have sowed and sowed and sowed. I believe we're going to get a home. In the natural, it looks impossible. In the natural, we don't have the finances for it in our bank account. In the natural, it doesn't look like the bank's going to give us a loan. But I believe that a miracle seed sown into miracle soil produces a miracle harvest. And we'd come to the place where we were willing to believe God beyond the limitations of man. So we believed God that he would get us a home. We went to the office that morning and there was a little knock on the door. Maybe an hour after I got into the office. It's a little old lady. She was our landlord at our ministry offices. And she said, do you need a home? What? Do you need a home? Yes, we need a home. And she said, I think I have the perfect home for you. And I said, okay. And she said, do you have money for the home? I said, no, I don't have money to buy a home. She said, well, I want to show it to you anyhow. She said, that's okay, we can figure it out. I just want to show you the home. So on Tuesday, I went to see this home with her. And it seemed like exactly what we need. It was a nice little home. It was three bedrooms. It just what we needed. And and we would be able to minister in and out of there easily. The property was, the physical property around the home was small so that we wouldn't have a lot of upkeep when we're traveling all the time. It was just perfect, absolutely perfect. And so the woman said, okay, well, why don't you go to the Bank of America and ask them for a loan? And I thought, the Bank of America is not going to give me a loan because I'm a Canadian. And the Americans don't give loans to Canadians. That's just the way it is. And she said, well, go down to the bank. And so I went down to the bank, sat down with the branch manager, and I asked for a home loan. And she said, you're Canadian. We cannot give loans to Canadians. So I said, thank you. And I packed my stuff up, and I went back, and I called this little old lady, and I told her, I said, they won't give me a loan. She said, okay, well, why don't you go down to another bank that's down the road, because they give loans to anybody. The interest rate is a little bit higher, but they'll give loans to anybody. Okay, so I went down to the bank. I filled out the forms and everything, sent them in, and I got the response from the bank. I'm sorry, you haven't been approved for this loan. What? You give loans to anybody, and you're not going to give me a loan. Sorry, we can't give you a loan. So I called up this little old lady, and I said, you know, I'm sorry, the bank won't give me a loan. She said, I know. I said, what do you mean you know? She said, I knew they wouldn't give you a loan. What do you mean you knew they wouldn't give me a loan? She said, and I knew the Bank of America wouldn't give you a loan either. Why did you tell me to go to those two banks if you knew they weren't going to give you a loan? She said, because I wanted to know whether you're really serious about it or not. She said, I wanted to know whether you really, if you really wanted that home or not. I said, well, I do. She said, well, then I've got the money to pay for it. I said, what? I said, that's a lot of money. She said, well, I've got millions of dollars. She said, it's only a little bit for me. God, against all odds, God got us in that home. Why? Because His word is true. Hallelujah. His word is true. Now we moved into that home. God, and we had received prophetic words that when we moved into the home, God was going to let us furnish it to our liking, and that God was going to allow us to have the walls and the paints and everything that we would want in our home. I want to, it was so supernatural how God gave us that home. The whole home ended up being, it was an older home. The whole home ended up being completely renovated and redecorated and everything exactly to our liking. And we are completely debt free on that home. Now, isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. In the natural, we had no money for the home. Some of you have no money for a home in the natural. I believe there's a glory tonight for some homes in this place tonight. If the Bible says the testimony of Jesus Christ is a spirit of prophecy. And tonight, as I'm testifying about the wonder of God and the goodness of God, there is a miracle realm, a portal that's opening in the spirit for you to walk into some of the same. Hallelujah. If you need a home tonight, you ought to pull it down from heaven right now. Say, Lord, if you could do it for Brother Joshua, you can do it for me. If you can do it for Sister Janet Angela, you can do it for me. Hallelujah. You just pull it down right now. Pull it down. Pull it down. Pull it down. Pull it down. God's word is true. Jesus spoke the word. He said, go show yourselves to the priest to be approved. As they believed it, the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed and they were healed. 10 of them that were in a difficult situation, impossible situation, the Bible says that all 10 were healed. Now, how many think that's wonderful? What does it mean to be healed of leprosy? Do you know what leprosy does to people? Do you have leprosy in South Africa? Some people say yes, some people shaking their head no. Okay. So maybe you know what leprosy is. It begins to numb the nerve endings in the body. I mean, it does a lot of stuff to devastate the inside, but the nerve endings all become very dull, and so people might begin banging their feet into the doors, or they might begin burning their hands, or they can't feel the ends of their fingers, and the abuse that comes, the fingers end up falling off, the toes end up falling off. Sometimes their nose will fall off, their ears will fall off. The extremities of the body become affected in a terrible way, actually, where a lot of loss begins coming because of the leprous condition. When they were cleansed, I believe this is what happened. Every power of leprosy that had been operating within their body instantly was annihilated by the word of God. And that leprous condition no longer existed within the body. They were completely cleansed. They were leprosy free. But I believe the effects of leprosy that had been in their body were still there. The Bible doesn't say that they were completely restored. The Bible says they were cleansed or they were healed of the leprosy. In other words, the leprosy could no longer take anything. The leprosy could no longer affect the body, but there were still some ramifications, still some evidences of the leprosy that had been in there for years. I don't know about you, but when the devil has attacked me, there's times when God will come and he'll I'll connect with the revelation of God, and that attack will stop in my life. But there's still some stuff. Am I the only one? There's still some stuff that's left over in my life from the attack of the enemy that happened in the past. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It might be some stuff in the bank account. There might be stuff in my finances. There might be stuff in my body. There might be stuff, just stuff. We all have our stuff. But the Bible says this. It says there was one man out of the 10 lepers. There was one that returned to Jesus. Why did he return? It says he returned to give praise. What does praise do? Praise changes the atmosphere. Praise charges the atmosphere with the potential of heaven. Praise connects you with the victory that we find in Christ Jesus. Praise will move you out of natural circumstance into heavenly promise. Hallelujah. Move you out of the old, into the new, out of your past, and into your promise. Praise will supernaturally reposition you. Why? Because now you're speaking God's language. Now you're speaking by faith. You're not speaking what your eyes see in the natural, because it might look bad in the natural. It still might look bad in the natural. But when you can see it in the spirit, you can have it. You just begin to declare it. The Bible says there was one of them, verse 15 of Luke 17, one of them, when he saw that he was healed or he was cleansed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. Your praise has got to be loud. Your praise is always intended to be loud. You're not supposed to hide your praise. You're not supposed to praise under the sheets. You're supposed to praise loud. Everybody should know that you're on fire for God. Everybody should know that you're living in the victory. Everybody should know. It doesn't matter what the devil's tried to do to you. You're not living from what the devil gives to you. You're living from what God supplies for you. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm living on the daily bread of God. I'm living on the word of God. I'm living in the promises of God. I'm living in the blessing of God. I'm living in the healing power of God. I'm living by the miracle sustenance of God. I'm living from another dimension altogether, and everybody's gonna know it. It doesn't matter whether you like it. This is the way it is. Let me tell you, there's some people, they don't like what I've been preaching. There's some people try to shut me up and shut me down, but it doesn't matter. When you get the revelation of God, hallelujah, you can stand up on the mountaintop and you can declare it, because he watches over his word to make it happen. And time again, his word is manifesting in my life. Time and time again, his word will manifest in yours. The Bible says there was one, when he saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. Ooh, that praise. It's changing the atmosphere. It's taking him out of the old and into the new. It's moving him out of his past, my God, out of the past, out of the misfortune of the past, out of the poverty of the past, out of the sickness, out of the disease of the past, out of the past where he lost stuff and the devil stole stuff, and out of that past where he was attacked time and time again. It was moving him out of the past into his promise. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus asked this question. He said, "We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return?" And what did Jesus say? "And give praise to God except this foreigner." Jesus was wondering, 10 received the beginnings of a miracle. Sometimes God will show up for you and the miracle will come in a way you didn't expect it. You might be asking God for all brand new teeth. You need a whole mouth full of teeth, brand new teeth. And God shows up, and he might give you one little tiny gold tooth in the front. Come on. There's time I've been ministering and people begin to get gold and silver tooth. There's been times people have gotten diamonds in their tooth. There's some people, they said to me, they said, "Brother Joshua, if it was God, it wouldn't be a gold or silver tooth. It would be a white enamel tooth." Well, that's so wonderful that you know exactly what God would do, how he would do it, when he would. That's just wonderful. Wonderful. They say, "Well, God wouldn't give a gold or silver tooth because that's a man-made replacement. That's how man tries to replace teeth." I want to tell you, when you got dental problems and God shows up, it doesn't matter whether he gives you a gold tooth, a silver tooth, or a blue tooth. Hallelujah. I mean, come on. You know you can get a blue tooth in the glory. You can get a blue tooth. I'm talking about getting hooked up to heaven where you hear things you couldn't hear any other way. What? What is that you're saying, Lord? Whoa. Ooh. There's been a few times I've been in meetings and God gave me a supernatural Bluetooth. You couldn't see it, but I could hear from it. And God began telling me stuff about people that I didn't know in the natural. God just began to read their mail. God just began to give me information supernaturally. Why? Because he had something that he wanted to do in their life. When you get a miracle from God, it doesn't matter whether it's blue tooth, silver tooth, gold tooth. I tell you, when you get a miracle from God, you're not complaining about it. You're not complaining about it. Everybody else might not like your miracle. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If nobody else likes the miracle that God does for me, I'm still going to thank God for it. I'm still going to receive it. I'm still going to love it. I'm still going to praise God. And then I'm going to try to take that miracle and impart it to everybody that I know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the Bible, they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I give unto you." But I can't pray that. I can't pray that. When I lay hands on people, I say, "Silver and gold have I some." Hallelujah. "And what I have, I give to you." Hallelujah. I remember laying hands on an Inuit man, an Eskimo man up in the Arctic quite a few years ago. I laid hands on him. I imparted that manifestation of the visible glory, the golden glory. He began walking in that golden glory day in, day out. They have such tremendous reports about him up north. He would be drinking coffee. His coffee would be full of gold. Everywhere he'd go, he'd leave footprints of gold. Everywhere he went, he was the biggest evangelist. He was the biggest soul winner. He used to love to baptize people in water. I mean, set people free. I mean, it was awesome, awesome, absolutely awesome. And now he's passed on to heavenly glory. But when God gives you a miracle, you ought to become thankful for it. And Jesus was asking, saying, There was 10 that started to get a miracle. Where are they? What are you going to do when God gives you a miracle? Will you return to him with praise? Will you return to him, giving him thanks, knowing that there's another miracle where that first miracle came from? Will you come to him with rejoicing, with celebration? Will you come to him with a sound of victory, thanking him because he is just so absolutely amazing. He is so good. Jesus said, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to this man, rise and go. I know you had leprosy in your body and you got cleansed of the leprosy. That leprosy stopped working in your body. But it looks like you still got a few toes that are missing. It looks like you still got a few little fingers that are missing. You lost your nose. Maybe you lost your ear. The enemy tried to do you dirty, tried to rip you off and rob you, tried to steal from you. The enemy tried to take stuff from you that I gave to you, that belonged to you. The enemy tried to do you harm. The enemy tried to mess you up and trip you up. Everything in your life, it seems like things have been stolen over and over again. But Jesus said this, rise and go. Your faith, your sound of praise has made you whole. 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 Whoa. You're coming out of the old and into the new, out of your past and into your promise. Your praise changes the atmosphere, connects you with the blessings of heaven, connects you with the glory of heaven, connects you with the manifestation of heaven. Your praise has made you whole. In other words, you're getting your fingers back. You're getting your toes back. You're getting your nose back. You're getting your ears back. Everything the devil tried to steal, you're getting it back. Tonight, I want to give you an opportunity tonight to sow into the glory. I want you to do this with purpose. I want your seed to be a praise tonight. I want you to sow the heaven, seed the heavens with your praise. I want you to seed the heavens with your finance, seed the heavens with your offering. We're not trying to buy a miracle from God. You can't buy miracles from God, but you can use your money as a weapon. Hallelujah. Do you know your money becomes a weapon that slays the spirit of poverty in your life? What does that mean? I'm talking about when you believe God's word that says you are blessed, you have favor, you live in increase, harvest belongs to you. When you believe that word, suddenly you don't trust your money any longer. But you trust that the word of God is true. And when you trust his word, you can take your money and you can praise with it. You can dance with it. You can shout with it. And you can sow it into the glory, believing that from that glory realm, your supply flows. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply for all of my need. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? See, there's a lot of Christians, they say they believe it. But then when it comes to money, they're afraid to give because they feel like, well, if I give, then I won't have. When God gives you an invitation to sow your finances, to give your finances, God's not trying to rip you off. God's not trying to take something from you. God's wanting to get something to you. God wants to connect you with the revelation, with the faith to believe that this money is not your provision. He is your provision. And because of that, you can shout, you can dance, you can rejoice, you can seed the heavens, hallelujah, with your finances. You can sow into your local church. You can sow into traveling ministries. You can sow into missionaries that are out on the field. You can give. Why? Because you are blessed. That's just the way it is. Nobody else might believe it. Nobody else might call you blessed, but you are blessed. If God calls you blessed, you are blessed. If God says you have favor in your life, you have favor in your life. Now, do you believe it? Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to sow into the glory. Take your finances, take a financial seed, prepare a financial offering, and sow it. Give it into the glory as a praise to the Lord. Is there anybody who would love to do that tonight? Few people. Well, maybe. Hallelujah. I believe we can sow it. We can give it as a praise. A praise that says, God, my atmosphere is changing. Something's shifting. It's not going to be the way it's been before. Tonight you can sow into the heavens according to that word. I'm coming out of the old. I'm coming out of my poverty into my prosperity. I'm coming out of my old into my new. I'm coming out of the past and into my prom. I'm letting go of the past and I'm grabbing hold of my glorious future in Him. Hallelujah. 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 I want the whole worship team to come back up here. And we're going to praise. I want you to prepare your offering right now. Just prepare it. Get ready. We're going to praise. We're going to shout. We're going to declare over this offering. As we're giving, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver whose heart is in their giving. Hallelujah. Not somebody who gives under compulsion or not somebody who gives because I don't want you to give because I told you to do it. I want you to feel what God is doing in this place. And if you connect with the revelation, I want you to do it out of the goodness of your heart, which you purposed in your own heart to do. It's amazing. Many times I minister and if there's no offering received, people come running to me. They say, Brother Joshua, aren't you going to receive an offering? They said, we want to give. We've heard this word. We want to sow into it. We want to give into what God's doing in the atmosphere. Some of you have some situations going on at home. Tonight your praise changes the atmosphere. And not only are you getting a miracle, but you're coming into divine restoration. Hallelujah. Some of you got some situations going on in your bank account. It seems like you're all messed up. Tonight, hallelujah, you're coming out of the old into the new. Coming out of the past and into the promise. Anybody believe that? Pastor Steve and Janet, I feel it so strong tonight that God is doing birthing something brand new in this church. God's birthing something brand new through your ministry. There's things that are going to begin to shift. There's things that are going to begin to change a little bit. It's going to be orchestrated by God. It's not going to be orchestrated by man, but God's going to begin to come in and bring clarity in situations where it seems like there's been a little bit of confusion or just quite not sure the next move, the next step, how to do or how to. I just see God beginning to birth something brand new, brand new. And I see God utilizing it as a catalyst for that which He desires to do, even within the nation. I see you as forerunners in the things of the Spirit. I see you as forerunners, even at pioneers in this next glory movement that God is releasing, what God is releasing in this land, what God is doing in South Africa. And Lord, right now I just bless them as father and mother. Lord, I just bless them as spiritual father, spiritual mother over this house and within Durban. And Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the new that you're releasing. Lord, I thank you for the new miracles. I thank you for new realms of provision. I thank you for fresh revelation that flows from heaven. Lord, I thank you for new signs and wonders, fresh encounter in the Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, I thank you for doing the new. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready with your offering? Are you ready with your seed? Hallelujah. The Bible says that God loves a generous giver. Anybody ready to be generous? You know why God loves a generous giver? Because God is generous. Hallelujah. God is generous. When we operate in generosity, we're connecting with the personality, the character, the nature of God. Hallelujah. Saying, God, because you are so generous, I want to be generous just like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I love it when your glory begins to manifest in my life. When I begin to act the way that you act. When I do what it is that you do. I love to be led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, I want you to stand up tonight with your seed. Stand up with your offering. Get ready. Let's do the high five again because I want everybody out dancing and shouting and rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to sit here, honey. But you say, I hope you don't mind that I just called. I hope that wasn't offensive. God bless you. God bless you. Okay. Oh, no. When God looks at you, He calls you honey. Hallelujah. says, you're sweet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I want you to hold up your offering. Hold up your seat tonight in this place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are the one that enables us to give. Because you gave, we are able to give. Lord, because you have blessed us, we are able to bless. Because you have favored us, we're able to show favor. And tonight in this place, Lord, as we sow into your glory, as we connect with the glory, as we partner with your glory, we believe that miracles are happening in this place. Lord, we believe for divine supernatural miracles of restoration. Lord, we believe for miracles in our family, miracles in our finances, miracles in our physical body. Lord, we believe that you are moving tonight in this place, and we receive everything that you are doing, out with the old and in with the new, out with the past and in with the promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout before the Lord. Come on, why don't you give? Just come and give cheerfully. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.